we can appreciate the fact that these two series of events here in this last few verses, verse 25, which we didn't read, says, there are also many other things that Jesus did, which of course refers not only to this last chapter, but to the gospel as it was written in general. But this, though there were many other things that could have been written, this is the final scene in this gospel. And we could also consider what it is that this lesson, if this is the final lesson, these are very important words in terms of what the Lord Jesus says to Peter about feeding and... But also, we could... Speaking to Peter about whether he should trust himself in this service or not. We already had the review about the last time that Peter had been at the fire and so on, the contrast there. But we could consider this question in verse 15. When the Lord Jesus begins to speak to Peter, he starts out with this question, do you love me more than these? And so among the other lessons of feeding and shepherding and giving this task to Peter, the very first thing that the Lord Jesus gives to Peter is this question, do you love me more than these? The progression of the questions is helpful. Here he says, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? We often hear that word agape love. That's the phrase that's used in verse 15. And he adds this phrase, do you love me more than these? More than these other disciples? And then verse 16, he just says, do you love me? Again, the same word for love. And then in verse 17, do you love me? Which really means there, just are you fond of me? Are we friends, if we might say it that way? And these questions, this first one, are do you love me more than these? Peter had said on that night in the upper room, he had said, even if everyone is offended, even if everyone is made to stumble because of you, not me, not me. And in this question, the Lord Jesus, I think we could emphasize the word do. Do you love me more than all the rest? And Peter says, you know that I love you. But every time Peter says, you know that I love you, he doesn't use that word agape. He uses that word, I'm fond of you. We're friends. You know that we're friends. You know that I'm fond of you. And he is having to learn that, no, I can't compare myself to all these other disciples. I can't rely on my personal strength, my personal devotion, my personal commitment. And then the Lord says, do you even love me? Not more than these. Let's not even compare you, Peter, to the others. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you have that fully committed love? We often say divine love. It is fully devoted to its object. Do you love me that way? He says, well, you know I'm fond of you. And in verse 17, he says, are you fond of me? That's what he says the third time. And I don't think Peter is grieved because it was three times, but because the third time the Lord even questioned, are you fond of me? Peter, even that? Are you fond of me? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know I'm fond of you. It sounds to me like that man who came to the Lord with the possessed son, and the Lord Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the man says, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think this is the same heart cry that's coming from Peter. You know all things. But the Lord knew his heart, and Peter had to know his heart the way the Lord knew his heart. And he had to know the incapacity of Peter's personal determination and will before he could hear these other directions. And in this progression of questions, that's part of what the Lord is accomplishing. Before the Lord leaves, he wants Peter to get that lesson, and it's a lesson that all of us need also.
Just a quick thought, the significance after they dined. The brethren have before us, in reality, the restoration of Peter. If I might put it this way, One could think from another record that the Lord appeared to Cephas first. There was a private record where the Lord have dealt with the question of guilt. Certainly over here is the stirring up the affections toward Christ. But I want to give a spiritual significance after they dined. The Lord is too sensitive to the needs of his own, especially in the work of restoration. Brother Bill, I'm glad that you have presented that in the scriptures, every time we read that the Lord fed, it was the fish and the bread. The unchanging word of God, I want to bring the spiritual value of it. The unchanging word of God, plus the fire. And brethren, if I have something to learn from this occasion that the Lord is dealing with this matter, we have to start learning that if we desire to stir up affections and bring restoration, it has to be founded first by presenting the word of God and by warming the hearts of the saints. Once we apply the word of God and warm the heart as far as Christ is concerned, we can rest assured that in so many occasions, the work of restoration will be complete. So I just wanted to highlight it is after they dined, where the Lord will feed, the Lord will warm the heart, and then he will address the problem that he needs to address.
I might add just another point to what was said already in regard to the work of the Lord in the restoration. It really did not start in chapter 21. There are few steps that the Lord have taken with Peter. It's a wonderful thing to be in the school of God. It is those kind of people who go through these experiences will be the one that the Lord is able to use them like he is encouraging Peter to do. The first time the Lord told him, I pray for you. The first thing, he said, Satan desired to sift you, but I'll pray for you that your faith would not faint. The second thing the Lord did with him in the school of God is he warned him. When Peter said, if they all deny you, I would not. The Lord warned him before the rooster crow three times. You would deny me. The third thing that the Lord did to him was the look. When Peter was in the place of the high priest warming himself, as we have heard, and denied the Lord behind the Lord's back. That's exactly what he did because the scripture said the Lord turned. He thought nobody could see him. The Lord looked at him. And then after that, there was the private meeting. The Lord have risen indeed and appeared unto Peter. The Lord made special, I mean, you would say he would appear first to Mary who broke the alabaster box at his feet. He would appear to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Those were faithful ones. But he appeared to Peter. It was that time where we really don't know what happened. But there, he encouraged and restored the heart of Peter. But then, this is the final time. That the Lord now publicly, in front of the other disciples, just in case there were any thoughts about the uselessness of Peter anymore because of what he did publicly, the Lord made sure publicly also that he, in front of the other disciples, reassure and challenging him. There is, how wonderful the ways of the Lord is. There is no beating behind the bush. He touched the heart. He touched the conscience. He get Peter to say to the end, Lord, you know everything. I cannot rely on myself anymore. So it's wonderful to be in the school of God and just to see the steps that the Lord take. Because usually when we do something, we start from the public part. But there was a lot of steps that went behind the scene before we get to that point of restoration.